Okay, good morning. It is so good to be together. My name is Sabrina, and I'm one of the pastors here at Cornerstone Community Church, and I'm excited to be speaking and sharing with all of you this morning. Who here has had a week that looked different than your average week, impacted by March break, maybe? Let's see. Yeah, there's some people. Probably there's still some people traveling back who aren't here. I recognize that we have a lot more young people, kids and youth in here than we normally do. I see you up there. And we probably have a lot less adults in here than we normally do because there are people still away on March break. So we are so thankful to be together. And this is the family of believers that God has brought together this morning to worship him together here. So I'm so glad that you're here, and I'm excited to share God's word together with you. So for the last 2 months now, we've been talking about prayer. Very simply, prayer is just talking with God, communicating with him, speaking with him, listening to him, and getting to know him. As Christians, we believe that God is all-powerful, all-knowing. We believe that God was and is to come, that he always was and always will be. We believe that God created all things, the universe and everything in it, and that he sustains all things. And we believe that this God, so big, that our minds can't truly grasp the fullness of who he is, created us, each one of us. He created us and he knows us. He wants to be active and present in our lives, in the everyday, normal movements and rhythms and actions of our day. I know that as beautiful as this sounds, everyone in here has a different comfort level and a different understanding and experience with prayer. And so sometimes when we talk about prayer and techniques in prayer, it can be easy to feel like, oh no, that's not for me. I'm going to leave that to the experts. But I hope you hear our heart in this. And more importantly, I hope you hear God's heart in this, that there is a God who loves you and wants to interact with you. He wants to speak with you. And the truth is that any one of us can pray. God is here waiting to connect with each one of us. We just need to stop and say, God, Father, Lord, Savior, I'm here and I want to speak with you and hear from you. Like any relationship, think of your relationship with your husband or your wife, or your relationship with your best friend, or with your daughter or son, or maybe even a relationship with someone new that you just met, but you're hoping to get to know better. Whether you've known someone for a long time or you're just getting to know them, there are basic principles of communication that help you learn to speak and communicate and hear other people, to really hear them, to read their body language and their tone, to understand them better. And also there's techniques in communication to make yourself heard better, to communicate your needs and experiences as well. So we've taken these last few weeks to hear about prayer, learning different skills and practices that can help strengthen our ability to communicate and hear from God, from the God who loves us. And together with our Sunday focus on prayer, our life groups have also been doing a study that's complementary to this. So I want to see, there was a very poor show of hands before, I'm not going to lie. So I want to hear from you. Who here is also in a life group that has been studying prayer over these last weeks? Yeah, that's right. Okay, I see those hands. I see those hands. thank you. And so a lot of us here have been taking a deep dive into prayer. We've been really focusing in on this. We've been talking about prayer and learning about it and hopefully even practicing prayer in a more intensive way than before we started this study. And I know for myself, as we've gone through this study, I have been reminded of some things that I had sort of forgotten, and also learned some new things about prayer and how to practice prayer. And I think that there are probably others in this room as well who have maybe learned some new things about prayer. How are we feeling this morning, Cornerstone Community Church? Are we feeling like we can interact this morning? I would love to hear some of the takeaways or learning points that you've had over these last weeks. And I know it can be a bit uncomfortable in this setting. It's a big room. There are a lot of us here, but we are a church family. I look at you and I see my brothers and sisters in Christ learning together. We're a church family. So for just a few minutes, can we pretend that we're sitting in a living room together and just talking about the things that we have learned about prayer? I would love to hear some of the takeaways that you've had. So have you learned something new about prayer over these last weeks? And if so, what is that? What was that?
Pause.
Oh, to pause. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, I had that. Actually, that was one of the ones that I have written. I have some written on here, too, to share if no one else will share. And that's one of them, to take that time, right? To dedicate that time. And so often, we go through seasons, and I know for myself, there have been seasons in my life that I've dedicated that time to God, but somehow, through in the busyness of life, I've gotten out of that routine. And we're so quick to say, oh, but I'm praying all throughout the day. And that's the truth. There are moments where I'm praying all throughout the day. But there's a different power when we dedicate time to give to God and say, okay, God, this is time with you. Speak to me. Teach me. I'm here. That's a good one. Thank you. Anyone else?
Simple.
Yeah. So we don't need to say a lot of complicated words or ideas, right? We simply come before God the same as we do with anyone else. Yeah.
Speak from the heart.
Speak from the heart. That's right. Yeah, we talk about the things that are real to us, right? And we vulnerably come before God. Yeah. Yeah, be specific. That's another one that I wrote, to ask specifically. And that feels so vulnerable. That's actually been a hard one for me to practice. That's a new idea to me. And that's been hard for me to practice because it feels so vulnerable to not just say, okay, Lord, your will be done, but to specifically ask. Yeah. Anyone else? That he can do it. Yeah, thank you. Okay, I think there was another one here that I missed.
Listen.
Yeah. Yeah, so often when we pray, we think we're just speaking to God, right? But how do we take the time to have ears to hear? We hear Jesus say that all the time, that those who have ears to hear will hear. Yeah, thank you so much. I would love to hear more. If you have stories of ways that this, that the practices you've learned in prayer have impacted your life, I would love to hear more. I think our hope and our prayer is that God is using this to transform us into people of prayer. Okay, thank you for sharing. Okay, let's step out of the living room now. Okay, so our specific prayer focus today is praying for one another. The Christian term for this is intercessory prayer, bringing each other before God. Intercession is often referred to as bridging the gap between heaven and earth. Pete Gregg, in his book on prayer that we've been using for this study, says that intercessory prayer is intervening or mediating between two people as an equal friend of both people, pleading with God on behalf of people and with people on behalf of God as an equal friend to both. I love that. It's us looking at the reality of life around us and saying, Father, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Please meet us here. It's us looking at the world and the people we know and saying, hey, let's bring this to God. God is here and he wants to be present with you in this. There's so much mystery and unknown in the act of praying, in the act of bringing the people we love and the world we live in before God, and asking him to work in their lives and to bring healing to the land. But God uses us and uses our prayers to bring his work and healing about in this world. The Bible is filled with stories and examples of people praying for other people, or for groups of people, or for entire nations. Examples of people bridging that gap between heaven and earth. We read about Abraham interceding for his nephew Lot, living in the city of Sodom. We read about Moses praying with his staff lifted high as the Israelites fought the Amalekites. Esther, Daniel, Hezekiah, Nehemiah, all interceding on behalf of their people, and God responding and forgiving their sin and helping them. When we get to the New Testament, we're encouraged by Jesus to pray for one another as part of loving one another. And we read about Jesus himself interceding for us and standing in that gap for us through his life, death, and resurrection. And even now in Romans, we read about him being raised to the highest place, seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us even now. In Acts 12, we read about the Apostle Paul, who was miraculously released from prison, chains fell, doors opened, by an angel as a result of God's people praying. Paul teaches us that we should carry each other's burdens and in this way fulfill the law of Christ. And he also tells us that even when we don't have the words to pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf when we come before him with a concern or a prayer request and we don't even have the words to say. The Holy Spirit will pray on our behalf. All throughout Scripture, we read about God using the prayers and actions of the people, of his people, to effect change in the world, to bring hope and healing and redemption. So the question has to be asked, do we believe that God is still active and alive in this world? That he wants to be present in this life with us? That he still wants to work in our lives? That he wants to bring hope and healing to the world that we live in? And do we believe that God can and does use our prayers to bring change in the lives of the people that we love, to bring peace to this broken world? We know that one day there will be no more sickness or death, no more famine or sword, and we long for that day to come. Anyone who has experienced the pain of this world, we long for that day to come, for Jesus to come and bring peace and healing and hope in its final fulfillment. And we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. But in the meantime, we need to remember that God isn't distant and far away or uncaring. He is at work here and now, bringing healing and hope in the midst of the pain and the chaos, in the midst of the normal, ordinary moments of our lives. And he wants to use us to join him in this work. He wants to use us to bridge that gap between heaven and earth. He wants us to pray for one another. He wants us to intercede. In Ezekiel 22, God says, I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land. In this scenario, he didn't find that person. Let that be today. When God is looking for someone to stand in that gap, let's say, I'm here, Lord. Let it be me. Use me. When we see and experience the needs of people in our lives, the pain and the brokenness in this world, God calls us to cry out to heaven and bring it before him. He calls us to intercede. So when we think about intercession or praying for one another, there are two main principles that I want us to look at this morning to help us grow in our ability to pray for others. Because probably some of you are sitting here thinking, that sounds great, but how do we do this? This world is so broken and there's so much pain. How do we do this? How do we recognize God at work and join him in that? So there's two main principles that I want us to look at. to help us grow in our ability to pray for others, to bridge that gap between heaven and earth, between people and God as an equal friend of both. And the first one is to grow in your friendship with God. We've spent already 6 weeks talking about prayer and learning to hear God. When we allow God into our lives and develop a relationship with him, we grow in our understanding of what he's actually like. And this helps us know his heart so we can pray in alignment with his will. In John 15, verse 15, Jesus said to his disciples, "I no longer call you my servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." So how do we do this? How do we grow in our friendship and relationship with God? When we give our lives to Jesus, when we initially hear his call and give our lives to him, it is the grace of God that saves us. We do nothing to earn this salvation. Michael was talking a little bit about that already. It's a free gift from God. But once we have been saved, we become a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we learn what it means to live our lives for God. We grow in our understanding and relationship with God. For most of us here, I'm not really going to be saying anything new, but hopefully there will be some good reminders to keep working on your relationship with God and putting time into growing your friendship with him. To grow in your friendship with God is important. And to do this, we start with the basics, reading scripture. The Bible is full of stories, story after story of God interacting with his creation. And when we take time to read it, to immerse ourselves in it, we learn what the will of God for his people is and for this world. We learn his character and see the things he cares about, who he has shown himself to be throughout history. Our perception and understanding of a person impacts how we approach them and interact with them. If you have a teacher at school who you have a tricky relationship with, that means that likely you're going to have a hard time learning in that class because your perception of that teacher is that they don't want you to ask questions or to be present there. Our perception of the people in authority over us impacts how we learn and how we grow. And that's the same with God. Our perception of who he is impacts how we interact with him. It's important for us to read scripture so we can learn who he is and what he cares about. And then, as we're reading scripture and are immersing ourselves in it, we also need to engage in what we're reading and learn to put it into practice. We need to learn how to put into practice the things that we're learning and reading about how God wants us to live. Last week, when Kevin was talking about listening prayer, he encouraged us to read scripture slowly and let God speak to us through it. And as we do this, as we study scripture and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us through it, we need to engage in it and allow it to transform our lives, to form our understanding of what is right and what is wrong, to shape how we treat others and how we approach life. There's so many messages all around us on what's important and what's right and what's wrong. Media is filled with messages. But when we read scripture slowly and engage in it, then we let God shape our understanding of all of these things. We develop a worldview that's shaped by God. And so one of the ways that I have done this in my life is by asking questions of what I read. I love reading the Gospels, the writings that record Jesus' life on earth. And one time years ago when I was reading through them, I was really struck by his interactions with people. And I focused mainly on those interactions as I read. Who did Jesus talk to? How did he treat them? What things were important to Jesus? It's important to ask questions and learn from that. From that, I learned so much about who Jesus values and how he, the grace that he has for the most unlikely people. And so as we explore scripture, we ask questions of it. Another example from my own life is that in my mid-20s, I was reading through the book of Galatians, and I got stuck on Galatians 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. And I had to stop and ask myself if the characteristics listed in this passage were actually evident in my life. And I felt convicted that maybe these characteristics weren't as evident as they should be. Am I loving? Am I joyful? Do I pursue peace in my life? Am I patient? And so on. And I took time to explore each of these characteristics, asking God to show me what is love, how this characteristic is displayed in Him, what it looks like for me to accept and live in His love, what it looks like for me to then share that love with other people and the world around me. I read scripture about it. I read books about the topic. I examined my life, asking God to show me how to love the way that He loves. And in the end, I took about a month to examine and study each of these characteristics listed as fruit or evidence of God at work in a believer's life. And say what you will about it. I know that there's a lot of different teaching out there about the fruit of the Spirit. I know that the fruit of the Spirit is a natural outpouring and evidence of our relationship with God, not necessarily something we strain and strive to produce. But my life was transformed as I studied each of these characteristics and asked God to produce these in me. And so as we read Scripture, immerse ourselves in it, as we engage in it and ask the Holy Spirit to transform our lives through it, as we put things into practice, this helps us to grow in our relationship with God and become His friend. And then we also have to learn to grow in our ability to just be still and listen. This was something that somebody said had already stuck out to them in this series. We have to learn to still our hearts before God and open our ears to what He's saying. I won't spend a lot of time on this because, again, Kevin talked about this aspect of prayer last week, learning to recognize and hear God's voice. But Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice and follow me." So if we want to grow in our relationship with God, we need to grow in our ability to be still and listen. And then none of this should be done alone. It's a popular idea out there in Christian culture that my relationship with Jesus is me and Him. I can worship Him just the same at home as I can at a church. Sometimes maybe I can worship Him even better. But the truth is, we need to engage in Christian community. We're not meant to live life alone. The moment someone gives their life to Jesus, God adopts that person into His family, and they become part of His body. Christian community is essential to our spiritual health and growth. And our brothers and sisters in Christ, the people around you in this room right now, help inspire us and keep us accountable to that narrow road that Jesus says not many will be able to walk on. So, as we grow in our relationship with God, we shift from being a servant to being a friend. We're transformed into His image, and we begin to view the world through the lens of Christ. We start caring for the things that God cares about and understanding what God wants to do to bring healing. Through this, we gain a better understanding of who God is and the ways that He wants to work in this world. When we face a situation that feels broken or hopeless, we can pray into it with confidence because we know the heart of God. We know who He is and His desire for redemption in this situation. When we pray for our children or grandchildren, we pray over them the promises that God has already given to them. We use these prayers prayed for thousands of years to claim the promises of God for the people that we love. And that brings us to our second main principle. In addition to becoming a friend of God, to growing in our relationship with God, we also have to open our eyes to the people and the world around us and remember that God is active and at work and wants to use us to bridge that gap, to intercede. We only have to turn on the radio or look at our phones to see the news alerts showing us the latest tragedy in the world. In truth, we don't even have to look that far. We only have to look at our own lives and the lives of our family and friends and the people that we love to see evidence of the broken world that we live in. The need is all around us. A friend's marriage is breaking up, or a family member receives a hard medical diagnosis. Someone we know is losing their job. There are countries at war, more and more. So many that most of them aren't even on our radar anymore. Corrupt leaders around the world are taking advantage of the people they lead. Drought and famine are displacing people. I'm sure that everyone here can think of at least one heavy piece of news that you're carrying, whether it's personal or in the world. And it feels heavy, doesn't it? And trust me, I don't say this lightly because I'm so very aware that there's very real hurt and tragedy and pain experienced by people in this room. And in the midst of that pain and that sickness and that tragedy, do we believe that God is present with us? Do we recognize that God is here right now at work in this world? Do we remember that God wants us to carry each other's burdens and stand in the gap for each other? We need to open our eyes to the people around us and bring them before God. And maybe we've been in relationship with some of these people for so long that we've given up even hope of God ever doing something in their lives. But we need to remember that God is active and alive and at work, and he wants to use us to bridge that gap as an equal friend of both. Let's not give up hope. Let's keep holding on to that. And as we ask God to open our eyes to the world around us and he shows us people and places to pray for, Pete Gregg says that we need to get informed so that we can engage with facts. In a visit that I had with an older woman in our church recently, she told me about a great nephew of hers who was taking a gap year and he was going to spend a year on mission in a different country. And as she was talking with her sister, the grandmother of this young man, she encouraged her sister to learn everything she could about that country that her grandson was going to so that she'd be able to pray for him well. And I thought, yeah, that's right, that's it. Like, let's get informed when we care about people, when we bring them before God in prayer. Let's become informed about the things in their lives, the ways that God is already working and the environment around them so that we can pray specifically for them. Another good example of this is with our partnership in Burundi. As a church family, we feel called to partner with a group of believers across the world. What a time to be alive that we can partner so easily and get updates from them. But this takes work, and to do this well, we communicate with them regularly, asking about the ways that God is working in their lives and challenges that they're facing. We go there. People in this very room have gone there to experience relationship with them and learn about their lives. And all of that helps us to pray in a powerful way that connects with the things that God is doing there and to call God into action even more to work in their lives. As we open our eyes and engage the world around us and get informed, we also need to get inspired by the scripture and pray the prayers promised in scripture. Pete Gregg, again, says, I want you to understand just how powerful it is when you stop praying your own prayers based on your own inclinations. So just the things that come to our mind as we pray and think we know what we're praying for. And start praying God's prayers based on his plans instead. By identifying relevant promises in God's word and focusing them on a particular person, place, or situation, you can be sure that you are interceding for them in line with God's purposes, therefore, in the name of Jesus. So as we bring people and situations to God, before we pray the obvious prayers, God bring healing, God help them find a job, before we pray those obvious prayers, we need to take time to be still before God and ask God how he wants us to pray for them. And so in that practice, sometimes God brings scripture and promises in scripture to mind that we can pray over over the people that we care about and the situations we're praying for, and there's power in that. We've seen that this is God's promise. We follow a powerful God who is active and alive and present in this world. And what an honor it is to belong to him and to be part of his redemptive work in this world. Oswald Chambers said that prayer doesn't equip us for some greater work, the Christian work. There isn't some greater work that as we prepare prayer, as we pray, that prepares us for a greater work. He says prayer is the greater work. The whole, what can I offer to this world? What can any of us offer to this world other than to bridge that gap between God and the world that we live in, the people that we love? What greater work could there be than that, than calling down the power of God and saying, God, come work in this, than telling the people that we love about this great God who loves them and wants to work in their lives, to bridge that gap? What an honor to belong to this God who is at work and alive, even today. And I pray that we would become a church filled with people who pray, that we will be people striving to grow in our friendship with God, and that we will open our eyes to the people and the world around us, remembering that God wants to use us to bridge that gap, to intercede, and that through this we will see the inbreaking of God's kingdom here on earth, right here and right now as it is in heaven. So, bow with me in prayer. Father, we pause before you now. We thank you, we praise you that you are the Lord who is living and active, that you created us, you know us, you're not far away from us, but you're right here with us. And God, our heart is to know you. Our heart is to see your healing and goodness and mercy overflow into this world that we live in. And God, we pray that your experience with the people of Israel during Ezekiel's time would be different with us, that when you're searching for someone to stand in that gap, you wouldn't find just one, but you would find hundreds of us willing to stand in that gap, to call on your name and the truth of who you are, to lift the people we love up to you and ask you to work in them. And God, we recognize what a mystery it is that you want to use your creation in the midst of your creation. And so God, we thank you and we pray that even in the unknown of it, that you would give us faith to make ourselves available to you. I pray that in the everyday actions of our lives, we would turn to you and recognize you, that we would see this world through your lens and your worldview. God, change us. Transform us into your people. We thank you that you are our God and we are your people. And God, we ask that you would draw us ever closer to you. So God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here this morning. I thank you for the role that they play in my life and the way that we work together as a church to seek you. I pray that as we turn our hearts to worship in song right now, that it would be a pleasing aroma to you. In your holy and precious name, I pray these things, Jesus. Amen.